Oh boy, I can't wait to get into this supernatural message because I was in church when the Lord gave it to me. It's good to be in church. And I have my little notebook with me, and the Spirit of the Lord started saying that when John the Baptist was anointed to prepare a level highway, God is preparing a highway for the Lord to exhibit himself, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And I remembered something. The anointing is there for what's wrong. The anointing is there to fix a situation, to fix the highway, to straighten it out, to fix the sick are whole, the poor have the good news preached, the sightless have sight. The anointing is there for what's wrong, so that when it's done its work, the glory reveals what's right. And Jesus is doing a quick work in us to kind of prepare us, get us straightened out, so to speak, so that the glory of God can be put on exhibition. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is a great Bible study. Part two, starting with John the Baptist and the highway work and culminating with the anointing that's on Jesus coming together on a level highway. And you'll be surprised to hear how the highway is going to show up in your lifetime. Do you think maybe that God is releasing the spirit of Elijah, especially in America at this moment, and that the family is one of the reasons the catalyst of this thing is coming to the surface now, the family issue, children, parents, etc.? Do you think I'm far off in saying that John the Baptist was an evangelism anointing to call sinners to repentance, not only in the way they're thinking, but in their ultimate priority, how they're aligned with God himself? And they came to repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the evangelism call. When you hear the end time billion soul harvest talked about, it's the John the Baptist, Elijah prophet anointing, proclaiming the wisdom of the just and setting up salvation. I believe that's what's going to be happening in these meetings we're doing. When I was with Mara Murillo the other night, and we saw 2,500 people come down, and then another 2,000 come down the second night, and we saw an arena packed out. People were coming out, and they weren't coming out to a pure evangelism meeting. They were coming out to what was our news broadcast, Flashpoint. And from Flashpoint, we've been advertising the revivals of Mario. So what you're seeing is 25% of the people are coming out for a political discourse that they know is God-centered. They know we're all men of God, but they're coming out of curiosity the same way they went to John's baptism. That's the spirit of Elijah coming down on a move of God in America. And it's different. It's controversial. Most people won't touch it. That's one of the ways I know it's God. Now, when this happened, it is done so that it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. In other words, the scriptures now, the Holy Spirit comes upon Luke, the writer, and says, when you're writing this, Luke, link it over to Isaiah. We got Malachi quoted earlier. Now we're going to go to Isaiah. And what's the Isaiah prophecy? Well, it's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, every mountain and hill will be brought low, the crooked will become straight, the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, I want you to take that Greek language here, and let's go over to the original Hebrew, which is written there, and we can find it there in the book of Isaiah. So we'll go to the words of Isaiah. And when we get over there, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. That's where the footnote's taking me. Isaiah 40. You got your Bible? See it in your Bible. Get a pen out. And here's what the translation says, American Standard. A voice calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low. Let the rough ground become plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. So now what Luke translated as the salvation of the Lord, Isaiah translates as the glory of the Lord. Now that's kind of an interesting transition. They're both saying the same thing. But I want you to see this from a different perspective. Isaiah the prophet, which comes along hundreds of years before John the Baptist appears. And Isaiah the prophet is speaking to the crying out of this voice in the wilderness. And let me see where this is again. Chapter 40, verse 3, okay? And here we go. The King James Version. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I was meditating upon this, these verses, as we were going through Easter recently. And the Lord apprehended me in church and said, where is that highway that the Lord was on? Obviously, it's a people highway. It's a people highway. And then I went back to Luke chapter 19. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the preacher was preaching about the triumphal entry of Jesus. And I realized what John the Baptist had prepared and what Jesus had completed was Luke chapter 19 and verse 30. Jesus says to the disciples, go into the village opposite you, and when you enter, you're going to find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So Jesus is operating by what we would call really the word of wisdom. He's seeing a vision of what's going to happen. He sees that the Father has already prepared the colt, never yet been ridden. Zechariah the prophet will prophesy. A contemporary of Haggai the prophet, during the period of Cyrus, he prophesies, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and riding upon the foal or the colt. And so the prophecy is the Messiah will come riding a colt. Jesus says, you're going to go into the city, you're going to go to a tavern. Now imagine if you're going up and getting a car in a parking lot and you go and hotwire it and take it. Well, the owner comes out and says, hey, what are you doing? And you say, the Lord has need of it. And the guy goes, oh, okay. It's kind of interesting. Jesus tells them what to do. So they were sent and went their way and found it just as Jesus said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. They threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes in the road. And as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples. It's a multitude of disciples. These are the people that were made ready and prepared. It was John the Baptist's job to get this crowd ready, and it was Jesus' job to gather them in. And as they come in, the multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. For what? For all the miracles, for all the mighty works. They saw this Elijah mantle that came with John the Baptist, and then the Spirit of it in its fullness and power was on Jesus, produced demonstrations of signs and wonders that confirmed the disciples. But I realized that, where is this highway that is going to be revealing the glory of the Lord? And then the Lord showed me. All the garments were the garments of the people. It was a people highway that Jesus rode on. It was a highway of people, all laying down their garments. He rode upon that direct route into the heart of the city on the shirts and tunics and clothing of the people. Laid down. He was, the glory of the Lord is being revealed on a human highway. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the last days. The glory of the Lord Jesus is going to be revealed on a human highway, made ready. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him, the religious leaders and teachers, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus refused to rebuke them. He said, if these keep silent, the stones are going to cry out. He comes in on that human highway. I want to go back and say something. the anointing that is on the body of Christ, the anointing that is on Jesus, is the spirit of Elijah right now. And it's an evangelism anointing. It's an anointing to contend with the culture, with the wisdom of the just. Let's go back and see exactly what Elijah, John the Baptist, was doing. Go back to Luke. We're jumping around the Bible, but I hope you get used to this because you got to know the Bible. I spent 50 years studying this book. Luke chapter 3 tells us something about the ministry of Elisha, of John the Baptist. He says he is someone who's called to make crooked things straight, etc., rough things smooth, and it's people. What does this tell you? The roughness in the body of Christ is going to be smoothed out in this move of God. The crookedness in the people of God is going to be straightened out. The exalted haughtiness and pride has got to come down. And the valley of lowness has got to be filled up. And God's about to do a leveling, a straightening, and an adjusting in the body of Christ so that it is a body without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, a bride who has made herself ready for the bridegroom. There is a movement of God on us to straighten us out, even as we are declaring the wisdom of the just to the world around us. And who came out to John's baptism? Well, verse 10 says the crowds, the populace, were asking him, "What is your message for us?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics, share with him who has none, and who has food, do likewise." Then the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, "Teacher, what do we do?" He said, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." Soldiers were questioning him, saying, "How about us? What do we do?" And he answered, notice tax collectors, crowds of people, soldiers in the military. These are categories of the populist movement saying, "What is this word that God is speaking to us?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." In other words, he was talking about generosity, honesty, and real justice. He was talking about real principles of giving, real principles of integrity, and real principles of doing what's right. And then he centers in on Herod himself and starts challenging the political leadership because of the inconsistencies in their own life. Now, Herod wasn't even a Jew, but it didn't stop that anointing from saying, "And the truth of God's word applies to you as well as to everyone else. No one is exempt from the lordship of Christ and from the word of God." That's the nature of this Elijah spirit. But I want to show you something now that I think is really important, and that is that the anointing that is on John the Baptist is the same anointing that is on Jesus. And the point I'm going to make is the anointing that is on us, this John the Baptist anointing, is an evangelism anointing. It's an anointing to deal with where in America we have to address what's wrong, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. As the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, as the Spirit of the Lord was upon John the Baptist, we are in the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And notice what Jesus says after he comes out of his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," verse 18, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." I'm standing up now, letting my camera people know what I'm doing. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book. Now, wise rabbis always point out, he closed the book in the middle of a sentence. Because if you go back to Isaiah and you read that powerful quote, it's really from Isaiah 61. And it's to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the year of the vengeance of our God. Why would Jesus, right there, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and close the book? because his was the great, not terrible day. But you and I are here with the Elijah mantle during the terrible day in its early phase, the era when shaking comes. And that is the middle of the sentence to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed it. But now the Bible says the books are being opened. The books are being opened. Revelation knowledge is flowing. God's speaking again to his people through the mouth of his servants and his prophets. The second part of that verse is, and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Vengeance against what? Well, I suppose it's the day of vengeance against all those that are militating against the coming of the kingdom and the manifestation of the glory of God. Coming to comfort all who mourn, to give the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God says, we're going to rebuild ruins. I'm going to raise up desolations. We're going to repair ruined cities. I'm going to restore generations. This is a restoration anointing. This is a mighty time when God is moving, and it's in the midst of shaking. It's when God is revealing something different about him than before. It's the vengeance of our God. So I want to say this. The Spirit of the Lord, or the anointing. The anointing is on the church. And that anointing is the spirit and power of Elijah right now. It's an evangelism anointing. It's an anointing to turn people to the wisdom of the just. It's an anointing to restore the family and the fathers of hearts to children and children to their parents. It's an evangelism anointing which is calling people to repentance. It's one reason why I love Mario's evangelism crusades, because he just deals with where America's at right now, touches on a couple of subjects, goes into the gospel challenge, prays for the sick and sees the signs and wonders, and then the altar calls. People respond to them. It's that kind of John the Baptist evangelism anointing. But that anointing is on the church. What is the anointing for? The anointing is on us to fix a problem. The anointing is for what's wrong. And this is the reason why the characteristics are that what's crooked has to be made straight. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to take the crooked places and make them straight. The rough places, to smooth them out. The high places, to bring them low, and the low places to raise them up, in order that what? A level highway can be made out of the body of Christ, out of the disciples, out of the harvest, so that the Lord can walk on that highway and reveal himself and his glory to the nations. The glory of God is about to be exhibited through the church. The church is the house of God. That house of God, the prophet said, is going to be filled with glory. During the time of shaking, the house would be filled with glory. I'm going to fill it with gold. I'm going to fill it with silver. I'm going to fill it with what it needs. But you see, the anointing is for what's wrong. When Jesus shows up, he is his characteristics. Now, look at this again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what would that mean? Take a look at this. So in that case, he's going to preach good news to the poor. Well, what's good news to the poor? That though being poor, he has made many rich. He has taken insufficiency, and he's filled it up. He's filling up. He's taking the high and bringing it down, but he's taking the low and lifting them up. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's anointed me to bring release to the captives so that they could be free. This is going to be deliverance. This is an anointing so that those that are captive to addictions, to deception, to demons are going to be set free. This is the casting out of demons. This is the transformation of lifestyle so that you don't have to live with insufficiency and lack and poverty and ignorance. But it also goes on to say it's going to be the recovery of what? Sight to the blind. It's going to be the recovery of hearing for the deaf so that they will be able to hear. And the teaching is that as you're physically healed of blindness, you're also being released to see the kingdom of God. as you're being delivered from deafness, you're beginning to hear the voice of God. All of these physical signs reveal a spiritual reality because to God, the spirit and the natural go together. It doesn't matter for you to be healed in heaven and be walking sickly on the earth. It doesn't matter for you to have heaven's resources in heaven and then you don't have sufficiency down here to do what God called you to do. The anointing is here for the problem. And so when we're praying for God's anointing, I want more anointing, I need more and more, and we're going to have an anointing service, you're really asking God to give you greater power to deal with a greater problem. That's both John the Baptist and Jesus show, that it's the straightening out of a people to cause them to prosper, the smoothing out of a people to set them free, the adjustment of people so that they can have sight and hear God and walk as a new community where the rich and the poor come together, but they're treated equally. So you have the equity doctrine of Marxism that says we're going to force equality based upon categories that have been that we think ought to be changed around. And the answer in the kingdom of God is no. It is going to be all of you lifted up to flourish. All of you free. But it's not going to be by taking it from one to give to another. It's going to be by each of you coming into alignment with the highway of holiness, the highway of the Lord, the highway of the Lord that God is building throughout the earth. Where we are right now is an interesting moment in history, my friend, because the problem that we've got in this transition from the great to the terrible day of the Lord is that Jesus came the first time as a lamb and they wanted a lion. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdoms to Israel? The disciples said after the resurrection, they still had dreams of global domination and the messianic kingdom. And Jesus said, well, it's not up to you or me to determine those times. The Father has his own clock. He'll determine that. But you tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed upon with power from on high. The Holy Spirit brings to you, Spirit of Elijah, brings to you the fullness of the anointing that Jesus has for the body of Christ. And I believe that there's a movement that's beginning now. We have to, I'm trying to lay out the premise that evangelism is taking a different turn. That there's a movement that's beginning that is going to be a level highway. And here's where it ends up. It ends up with Jesus taking that colt. Remember that colt I told you about in Luke 19? In Luke 19, he rides the colt. And what is the vehicle that ultimately is going to carry this glorious move of God? Well, it looks to me like it's going to be hidden away here in this colt that no one yet ever sat upon. You know what a colt is? It's a young generation. The spirit of Elijah is there to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to their fathers, and there's going to be a youth turning. Satan has targeted Generation Z, I guess it's called now. He has targeted them, and he's licked his chops, and he's set up his table, and he plans to carve them up. And this spirit of Elijah says no. I believe the greatest move of God is going to be happening. Actually, it's already begun. It's already begun. I'm trying to describe to you characteristics of where it fits in the cosmology of all these other events. And there is a young generation out there. Watch for this to happen. As this movement continues to develop, there will be a generation of young men and women who are going to come to this baptism. And it's a baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist said, what I'm doing right now with water is symbolic of what's going to happen to you. When he shows up, it's going to be fire. A colt never yet ridden is a generation without a Jesus move. That's why, once again, I'm talking about Mario because I just talked to him in a broadcast earlier today. But he was around for the Jesus movement in Berkeley back in the 1970s when it was started out, when the Jesus movement began in the United States. And I think there's another Jesus movement coming. I hear all the prophets talk about it. Another Jesus movement. But this one is different. It's a generation that has never yet been ridden by a move of God. They're illiterate, ignorant to the revivals of the past, the charismatic outpourings, the various things you and I have been exposed to. They've not seen it, but they're about to. They're about to come into the harvest. I'm looking for those young men and women right now. We're looking for that next generation right now. This teaching I got came out of a Bible study for a group of young millennials that I was doing a Bible study for my daughter. And that's when this came to me. And I said, you are the level highway. You are the vehicle that will reveal the glory of God. Jesus will ride upon you. And the church is right now laying its garments out and being situated in a movement. The great shouts that are about to come up, the great marvelous works of God that we're about to see, I think they've already begun. If you can put your hands up in the air, you can almost taste it. It's there in the atmosphere. I can see it's already in the midst of us, and a new generation is going to experience the glory. Your sons and daughters will see the glory of God, because that's what salvation produces, is a manifestation of the glory of God. And what I want you to do is I want you to partner with this revelation, partner with this anointing. We're going to be now moving to a new season of activity where we're going to be doing different kinds of training, different kinds of work with people in our ministry, because I never did this before. Because as a businessman, I would try to find a way to support and resource the work we did, and we had, I don't know, we've got a certain number of people that have been come to me and said, we want to partner with you. But it wasn't until recently that the Lord said to me, partnering for the anointing. There is a relationship between the teaching of revelation and the receiving of revelation. And when you align the two so that there's this giving and supporting, you're helping us to do the move of God that we're called to do. And as we do that, we're releasing to you the anointing of the movement, working with us together. You and I working together. Mario and his team and my team, we're seeing this harvest time working together. And we believe that we need resources so that we can catch the harvest. There are cities now asking for meetings. There are now arenas and stadiums and convention centers and places for the tent to go. And we're looking at this and saying, this is a sudden insurge. It's almost like people coming out to the baptism. And I believe that your partnering with us can enable us to go and to do the work we're called to do. And in exchange, you tie up and connect with that same anointing so that we're working together as one team. And I need your help. I need the partners now, because when we look at how far we can go, how much can we do, what harvest can we reap, I realize that this movement is nothing that I've done has prepared me. I don't have the infrastructure. I don't have the depth. I work with a very lean team in a studio. But now we're going to have to expand. Many of you are going to be part of this. You're going to be working in these fields of harvest. Many of you are going to find your calling in the marketplace, in ministry, in business, and in government, and in local politics and in national affairs. You have a call on you, which is going to be in those seven mountains. This next year is going to be seven mountain taking back territory. It's the Nehemiah chapter, where we're rebuilding the walls that were torn down and restoring gates. And it's not going to be without a battle, because the tares and the wheat, boom, wrestle together. I need your help in this battle. Go to lancewalnut.com/partner. And help us do our part. In exchange, there's going to be that connection with you where revelation, impartation, anointing, the same spirit that we're working with now is going to be coming to you. And that strengthening of that same impartation, that same vision, that same anointing is going to create a great net. The Lord showed me a net forming in the United States, that as the net forms by the networking of God, it will come down upon a web of deception that has been over the minds of Americans. It will break the web by the anointing. And the anointing is going to come by key relationships working together, partnering together in the humility of having the high things brought down, the low things brought up, letting God do the work in us so we can labor together in the harvest. Will you help me with that? I need your help. And it's humbling to ask, but I believe God wants me to humble myself and say, we need help to do this work. I don't ask often. I haven't asked before, but now is the time to partner, because we need to bring those nets to shore. And we need to call for our partners to help us bring the nets in, because this is America's harvest time. It's a different kind of move. It's a movement that will have its own controversies. So be it. We're willing to weather the storm if you'll stand with us. LanceWalnut.com/partner. And join with me Every month I'll be sending out a letter. I saw something I was inspired by, where I saw Kenneth Copeland has a letter he writes every month to his partners. And I just saw myself. I thought the Lord was telling me then. He said, you're going to be in your library there. I'm going to give you the words you need to speak to the people that are partnering with you. Annabelle and I saw something. He's got a plasma screen TV, which has the faces of all those people partnering with him. And he, as he sees those faces, he prays for them. I thought, how beautiful. She saw it. She just loved it because she loves connection. So she said, I want to see all the faces of the people so we can pray for them. So we're going to work on that and get the pictures of you and be able to pray for the faces of the people and be able to stand together. Because I believe this is the great hour of revival we've been praying for, the great hour of shaking, and perhaps the great hour of changing America. That's what this Bible study is about. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord, and it's the visitation America needs because of the shaking. The opportunity is now. God bless you. Go ahead over there to lancemullen.com/partner, and I'm going to be writing to those of you that sign up and those of you that already have. We're going to be praying for you in a special way for that supernatural anointing, because something is happening in the area of signs and wonders that I haven't seen in a long time, but it's in the atmosphere now. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.